How to Take Drugs, A New Approach to Medication for Better Results and Fewer Side Effects, written by Nick Barber and read by the author and Mark Meadows.
For Emma, and in memory of my parents. Do the right thing, Jean Barber. Do the thing right, Tom Barber.
If you chose this audiobook in the hope of discovering a novel way of snorting cocaine, then I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you. A drug is the active ingredient in a medicine. A medicine is the manufactured product containing the drug. Aspirin is a drug. Aspirin tablets are a medicine. Introduction. Why you need this book. I lay on the table in the brightly lit catheter lab, naked other than for a green cloth over my groin. I was about to have an angiogram to check on the blood vessels that fed my heart muscle. There were a couple of computer screens above my head, and a young female doctor was working at the top of my leg, inserting a plastic tube into my femoral artery, while the other clinicians prepared for the procedure. During my PhD at this hospital, I had volunteered for several clinical trials and was used to being experimented on. My research had involved assessing potential new drugs to treat high blood pressure, so I was interested to see the plumbing of my own body. I was rather enjoying myself and in a jokey mood. I looked up as a head loomed over me and said, "Hello." I read the name badge. It said Gabriel. "Have I passed over?" he grinned. "Hey, this is my lab. No one dies on my table." I wasn't worried about dying on his table or elsewhere, as my presence here was a mistake, the result of an anomaly on an earlier test. It was only my GP's excessive caution that had made her send me for this procedure. I knew I didn't have a heart problem. Now, in my early 40s, I had been an amateur wrestler and had always run, cycled, and swum. I was proud of my physique and felt as fit as a butcher's dog. The doctor started reeling the tube into my body. On a screen above me, I watched its tip inching its way into the artery that feeds the heart. I felt a warm flush as dye was injected into my bloodstream. The vessels of my heart lit up like a road network at night. They all looked fine to me. The tube was soon withdrawn, and a heavy thumb pressed into my thigh until the bleeding stopped. I was slid onto a gurney and watched the brightly lit ceiling tiles of the catheter lab change to the mottled grey in the corridor, then the dull white on the ward. I was told to rest until the consultant came to discharge me. Drifting, I imagined him ambling up with a benign look on his face. "Well, Nick," he would say, "it's all clear." I smiled to myself. No, more likely it would be, "Well, Nick, your heart is as sound as a bell. It's not often we get the privilege to see such a healthy heart in a man of your age." That would be more like it. The consultant strode up to my bed. "The good news is that I don't think we need to do coronary bypass surgery on you. The main artery that feeds your heart is around 70% blocked. We consider surgery at 75%. If a blood clot blocks that artery, you will be lucky to survive, so I've asked the nurse to give you some aspirin immediately as a blood thinner. You will probably have to take it for the rest of your life. You also need your cholesterol sorting out. I will refer you to the lipid clinic, and you will probably be on statins for the rest of your life, too." And he left. My daughter was 4. I needed to stay alive long enough to shepherd her to adulthood. Fear started to grow. Only medicines could keep me alive. 15 years later, I had another angiogram. There had been no further narrowing. Without treatment, I would probably have had a heart attack by then. The drugs had worked and are still working. I'm sure I'm only alive now because of them. And yet... The A&E doors crash open as Mary's gurney is hurried through by the paramedics. Confused and bruised from a fall, there is a large bag by her feet. Her blood pressure is low, as is her glucose and sodium.